worst I've seen.
What's going on?
Oh, the humanity.
This is insane.
I'm in fear for my safety.
Look at it.
Five.
It's coming this way.
I can't believe it's come to this.
Four.
Is anybody hurt?
Somebody do something.
Make it stop.
Three.
I can't look away.
No. No.
Get out of the way.
Two.
Get down.
Take cover.
It's here. It's here.
And now, we bring you your weekly waste of time, featuring Crisco.
And if I learned anything from all my years in the dance club, too much grinding can really lead to bad things.
Ian Hunter.
Every show needs a bit of slapstick comedy, and I'm willing to provide that.
Mickey.
Thanks. Thank you for comparing my flu to chlamydia.
And Lazy E.
My towel is like a diving board.
It's the best mistake ever made. Welcome to a freak accident.
Let's go!
Since this episode is coming out on St. Patrick's Day, yeah, we're going all St. Patrick's Day, all day with this episode of A Freak Accident. Welcome, my name's Crisco, I'm the host, and I got my team here with me, as always, the three amigos, slash amiga in Mickey's case. We got Lazy E, Ian Hunter, and Mickey. How's everybody doing?
This song makes me want to drink a beer right now.
Well, how could you not, Lazy E, whenever the Dropkick Murphys come on?
I know.
It's a beautiful thing. Ian, how we doing, man? Have you lost any fights to any inanimate objects this week?
I know. It's been a good week. I am undefeated.
All right. And I've also learned about Ian, he and his family, not yuppies. Learned that this week. That came down the pipe, and I just wanted to make sure that that was clarified. At least according to certain people on the internet, not mentioning any names. Mickey, how are you?
Oh, I'm just dandy. I'm thinking about, I think I'd rather have a beer than what we plan on doing later on.
Yeah, no, we'll get into that, definitely. A little tease there, radio tease. Our website is afreakaccident.com. Send us an email if you'd like to reach out to us about anything at all. It'd just be nice to hear from you, too. Freaks@afreakaccident.com. While you're at our website, you're browsing around there, be sure to click Connect on the menu bar. You'll find links to our social media pages there, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, all that good stuff. YouTube as well, which is probably where we're going to post a video within the coming days that is going to have to do with this thing that Mickey's teasing that we'll get to in just a couple minutes here. We'll get to that.
The smell of this thing is infesting my nostrils.
It's overpowering Ian, I noticed.
Yeah, it really is. It's actually going to haunt my dreams tonight.
But yeah, find us on social media, and don't forget to subscribe on iTunes, and if you enjoy listening to the show, leave us a review. So thanks for downloading and listening to this episode. This is going to be a good one, this episode.
Yeah.
I mean, they're all good, but this one especially, because, I mean, well, St. Patrick's Day, we've got stories. Ian was extremely intoxicated over the weekend, and I'm sure there's got to be some battle with a door or like, you know, tripping over a curb or, like, you know, not knowing how keys work or something like that. That's got to be in there somewhere.
I'm a high-functioning drinker.
Ah, okay.
So no, I did not lose any battles.
So like, you turn up when you're drunk?
I do,
like, you
yeah.
Know, you turn in, too? It's...
Yes.
You become a functional member of society when inebriated.
You function better under alcohol.
I'm a freak of nature, man.
Suddenly he can remove doors from their hinges, no problem, you know?
I've seen Star Wars, no problem.
All right, I'll take it.
So we got some St. Paddy's Day stories. We've got a bunch of other stuff to talk about in the show as well. Might as well tease you with what it's going to be. We've got a St. Patrick's Day edition of everyone's absolute favorite game show of all time, Yes or BS! That was really loud.
Yeah, wow, that actually
wasn't expecting it to be that loud. Sorry about that.
And they already think we're drunk.
I mean, St. Patrick's Day, you know, it happens. We've got 17 rules of etiquette for the digital age, you know, because, like for instance, not texting during the show, Ian.
Are you still mad about that?
Yeah, don't do that. It's not professional. And also, knowing your streak of, like, walking into things when you're texting, I don't need you headbutting the microphone and breaking my equipment.
I'm stationary. I'm not moving anywhere.
I don't put anything past you, pal.
This is true.
Love you, though.
You are not a piece of paper. That's stupid.
Stationary.
We've got the statistics for how much are some former really top-tier celebrities worth today. Might shock you. We'll definitely get a laugh out of a couple of these. And we've got a lot of movie talk to get to, and plus we got wrestling talk because we're on the road to WrestleMania later on in the show as well. So let's start off, since it's St. Patty's Day, I don't know if that was an Irish accent or not.
Italian?
Probably offended a lot of people with that one. Nope. Sorry. I could do E's Irish accent, which is just a pirate. Yarr, St. Patty's Day!
Little backstory to that. At the radio station we work at, I had to record a commercial that they said they wanted an Irish accent. I said, I can't do the Irish accent. They're like, do it. I'm like, fine. Come on down to St. Patty's Day. Get yourself a brew.
You'll be walking to plank, matey.
Yeah, crusty crabs.
So, in your defense, I thought that actually sounded pretty good when I heard it on the air.
Thank you. Thank you,
no
Ian.
No problem.
Thank you.
He sounded like a really stereotypical leprechaun.
Yeah. Well,
wasn't that the point?
If that's what they were looking for, whatever. Job well done.
Thank you.
Anyhow, we're going to touch on some St. Paddy's Day stories. I mean, Mickey, you didn't really celebrate at all with any of the parades this weekend, did you?
No, I did not.
Because there's a big, in our vicinity here where we're based, which is northeastern Pennsylvania, there were two parades this weekend. There was the Wilkes-Barre one, which is very, very scaled down and tame in comparison to the big one, which is right up the road in Scranton.
Which is the one I went to.
Right. Yeah. And, I mean, there have been statistics thrown around over the years. I question it. I really don't. People bring up, oh, it's the second biggest St. Patrick's Day parade in the country. There's no way that that is remotely possible.
I'll give them the credit that it's probably in the top five.
Maybe, because I don't know, because we've discussed this before. The fact that Boston, on a normal Saturday, has more people on the streets than Scranton does during the St. Patrick's Day parade. I mean, granted, a lot of people come in for it, but there's no way it's the second most popular freaking parade in the country when you consider that, like, per square block, some cities have more people in them.
Yeah. It's on the back half of the top 10. Yeah, I looked it up a couple weeks ago.
Okay.
It's like 7 or 8.
I wonder where they get the number 2 statistic from then. Probably some manipulated numbers, right?
It's probably because of the day it happens. It doesn't happen on St. Patty's Day. It happens the weekend before weekend after. That's probably where they're getting it from.
Because you think Chicago, with how crazy they go with Die in the River, Boston itself.
New York,
Los Angeles, San Francisco. I mean, these are all massive cities with massive, massive amounts of people that live in them. There's no way Scranton has the second biggest in the country. It's just not possible.
I went to Pittsburgh's St. Patty's Day Parade a couple of years ago, and whenever people said, hey, this is the Scranton's the second biggest, I'm like, all right. And I showed up, I'm like,
how?
Yeah, I'm like, this is no different than the one I went to a couple of years ago in Pittsburgh.
Granted, it is crowded. But there's no way that it doesn't stand apart from all the other parades in the country by measure.
It's a parade.
What was your experience like there, though, since this was your first time?
Well, I showed up. So a good friend of mine came in from Pittsburgh, and my wife and we all went down. And we get to the parade, and we walk past a porta-potty. And four girls walk out of the same porta-potty at the same time. My mind exploded.
That's impressive. Yeah. That toilet exploded too.
Well, because I had to go too, so I went in after they did. And I'm like, I'm not a real big guy, but my shoulders are like bumping into every inch of this porta-potty. And I'm like,
four fit in here.
I'm like, how did four people fit in this friggin' thing?
I'm sure that's a question those girls were familiar with.
They're former clowns.
Actually, they might have been. Based on their looks, they might have been.
How much you want to bet they were taking a selfie in there?
Oh, ew.
Ooh, yeah. LOL, St. Patty's Day pee.
Yeah,
you know
probably.
What? And this doesn't sound terrible. They weren't, and not surprising, they weren't exactly models either.
Oh, that's a nice way to put that.
Yeah, they were
hashtag peeing on our parade.
Some of those girls, I'm not quite sure how they fit in there. Mm.
Oh, ooh, Ian, now you're being more obvious. Now, did you get in any drunken shenanigans?
No, we were only there for a little while, and then we're like, okay, this is, not what...
You are a factory of sadness!
No, I was not the factory of sadness. We had a couple of beers.
No, but the parade is.
Yeah, we had a couple of beers, and then we went home.
I really thought Ian was going to say that he walked into the porta potty.
You know what? That would be great.
Or fell in.
Obviously.
You just hear, help!
Ian doesn't do it right, because I had the ultimate St. Patty's Day story 2 years ago.
And we touched on this, was it last week or the week before on the
week
show?
Week prior, I think.
Yeah, I hope
I never have a story as good as this.
This is interesting.
So what happened was, about 2 years ago, me and my buddies always had a tradition of going out on St. Patty's Day, up to the Scranton Parade. And we would start what some people would consider early, 5 in the morning.
We started at 9, it's all right.
5 in the morning. So we then head up to the parade. We know somebody up there, so we have great parking. They have an apartment up there.
Cool. Oh, good for you.
Screw you. And we continue drinking. And we continue drinking. This goes till about, 9 at night. From what I remember, nine
Why
at night.
Why did you do that?
I asked my that question after what happened. So my buddy decides, I'm going to leave. Not all of us are with him. Mind you, I live about an hour away from Scranton.
Right.
The closest friend, again, he lives in Scranton. It's not like right on the parade route.
Yeah.
We don't know how to get there from where we're at. So me and my friend Ed start walking. And we start walking. We're like, we got to find a cab. We have to find something. There has to be a cab that will come by.
Not in Scranton.
Oh, no, there was. There was a cab. But I was so drunk that I jumped in the cab. I was like, let's go. Ed was not in the cab with me. He asked, where do you need to go? I'm plastered. And I remembered we were originally going to park in a city that was close by.
He just goes, home, James.
So I say another city, which is way further. I get out in that city. And that's when the cops came. They're like, sir, are you okay? I have no idea what I said. So they not only put me in the car, they cuff me and cuff my legs.
I swear to drunk, I'm not God. Wait, what?
They cuffed his legs to his arms and cuffed the whole thing to the back of the car.
They bring me to that city's jail, which then brings me to Scranton's jail. I sit there and I'm like, I can't believe I have to do this. Because all our phones are dead at this point. Because 5 in the morning till 9 at night. I had to call my mother to come pick me up in the Scranton jail.
You really blew it.
Yeah, I did.
What kind of hardened criminals did you run into that night?
It was just a bunch of drunk guys, but there was one guy. We're not sure what he was in for, but it was not for being drunk. He was perfectly sober. He's still in cuffs while he's in that little holding cell. We all, like, if you would have saw that cell, he's on one side and we're all huddled to the other side like, what the heck? Is he a Manson Clan guy? Because he looked like it.
Ooh, I think I knew I remember what he was doing there.
he probably killed somebody. And that's on the low end of what he did. But that's why I have never gone to the parade after that. No St. Paddy's Day parade that I didn't have to work at.
I don't have any really crazy stories other than the one year I got absolutely destroyed there.
Yeah.
And had to go to my stepmother's birthday party afterwards.
Oh, no!
So there I am in front of family trying to feign sobriety. It didn't work.
No.
I think they all thought I'd cracked because I don't know if they necessarily knew that I was at the parade. I was just like walking in. I was like, I love all of you people. Look at all of you, all in one place like that.
How could they tell anything different? That's how you usually act.
I'm pretty manic most of the time, but you haven't seen me drunk, so.
Happy birthday.
But I've never really had a crazy experience on St. Patrick's Day, really.
I think we can safely say anybody that celebrates St. Patrick's Day ends up in some form of drunk.
Oh, yeah, usually. Oh, yeah.
You have to.
Not really anymore for me, though. I can't even remember the last time I was drunk. I don't even know. There. It's been a long time. Not only because beer is expensive, but because I found that I really don't like, you know, completely losing my inhibitions. It's not a good idea.
Well, getting drunk is not the bad part.
It's coming down off of it.
Yeah, then, especially when you do it in the day, like in a parade. Mm. Then you
or
feel
in a jail cell.
Yeah, you feel the hangover afterwards. I'm like, it's coming.
Another reason I don't like getting drunk is always the hangover. They are terrible.
Oh, and as you get older, they get worse.
We went to a party before we went to the parade, and so it's like 10 o'clock in the morning. We're drinking, and some of the college kids there are like, yeah, we're drinking PBR. I'm like, do you want some? I'm like, no, I do not. No. I am above that.
Yeah, PBR, please. Everybody's above it.
Now, you were at a birthday when you came in drunk.
Mm.
But we're going to celebrate the ultimate birthday of a new superfood.
Yes, yes. So that's funny. We're all talking about hangovers and feeling like you're going to puke. Guess what? This came up last week on the show, I think. I was talking about how cheeseburgers and pizza are really the perfect food because it has each has everything in it. It's got grains, it's got fruits and vegetables, it's got cheese, what have you. And Lazy E brought up the idea that, oh, well, anything could be a superfood, even chocolate cake. How? Well, we figured out how, by putting bacon, lettuce, and not Not lettuce. Spinach. Bacon, spinach, and tomato. So it's a BST sandwich on top of a chocolate cake. And now we're going to try and eat it because, well, we hate our lives and we'd rather be sick to our stomachs than healthy and happy.
BST sounds like something that you would get at a German brothel.
Yeah, yeah, it doesn't sound friendly, that's for sure. No. So we've got the cake here. You can actually see a picture of me and Ian in our nearly matching shirts, which is weird. We did not call each other. But we're holding the cake. That's on our Instagram. And Lazy E is doing the honors of videotaping this fine beast here now.
Everybody
so.
Take a fork.
Let's so you can make fun of us later.
Yeah, no, this is going to be fantastic.
Or watch an abomination of vomit.
So you got to make sure you get a piece of each thing, right? Like, we got to get bacon.
There's not a whole lot of bacon here.
Hey, Ian, I'm gonna need you to grab me a forkful. Get me a little bit of everything.
Hold on.
Chris wants some more.
I need a little more cake.
We're doing this here. All
right. You know what's really hard? Videoing and trying to see where your hand is coming into the shot. Like, it's really screwing me up.
I thought you'd be used to that.
I have no depth perception.
I gotta find a tomato here.
All right.
There
you go, eat.
Give me. Oh, it's gonna be like the listener is eating. Like, it's like, ready
table.
To eat?
Right, I got the last piece of bacon.
Oh, Mickey, just to let you know, I did not mean to take a still shot of your bust. That just was accidental. Congratulations, listeners.
Oh,
all right,
God.
Everybody ready for this?
No.
No.
Cheers, everyone.
Oh. Hold on, I have cake yet.
Oh, wait.
Poor Ian's having issues.
God.
You're not even. Well,
get it together, man.
This is the. Okay.
All right. Now we got a little bit of everything?
Yep.
Everybody's got a little bit of everything?
I know. Cheers. I want to.
Get ready.
All right.
It's like sushi.
It isn't that bad.
No, I surprisingly don't hate it.
It's not bad.
It's pretty good, actually.
To describe to the listener, it kind of reminds me of eating a BLT with just a little bit of sweet.
Yeah.
I could do it again, actually.
Yeah,
it's not bad.
Terrible.
You have chocolate all over your lip. You look like a 5-year-old that you are.
Wow, that actually is great tasting.
Yeah.
I am shocked. Nick, can we get some more bacon in there? Yes.
No, even with the spinach.
Get enough bacon.
No, the spinach kind of adds a little crunch to it.
Yeah.
I kind of like that.
I'm going to have more.
Oh, man. Now, Mickey.
Yeah, no, I don't hate it.
Oh, there's a piece
you
of
would think
bacon
that
on
you
here.
Would think this would be the most. Oh, great. You're spitting all over the equipment.
That got caught in my teeth and then went flying.
You would think that this would be. It sounds disgusting. Chocolate cake.
Yeah.
With lettuce, tomato, and bacon.
Spinach.
Or lettuce, spinach, tomato, and bacon on top. You would think that wouldn't taste good, but yeah, it actually. Yeah, it makes sense.
It's not terrible.
Mickey, all right, you said you were allergic to chocolate. How's it going?
I'm okay so far.
All right.
You're allergic to chocolate?
The cocoa, yeah.
Oh, well, this is fantastic.
Yeah.
Somebody's going to die on the show now.
It's not going to be me. Yeah.
It's great radio, though. Theater of the mind,
yeah.
Right?
And great.
That's theater of reality.
If I start choking up in the next 20 minutes, we'll know.
I'm excited. Yeah. Well, hey, we just introduced you to another new superfood. Add that to your menu and try it sometime, listener. You'll love it.
And what are we calling it again? The BLST or whatever.
The BSTK, the BST chocolate cake. The BCST cake. There's got to be a better way of spelling that out.
Can't wait to have my wife make this.
We can leave it up to the listener.
There you go. Yeah, listener, if you come up with a great idea for this, email it to us, and we will attribute all royalties to you after we've taken a 90% cut.
And that's freaks at a freakaccident.com.
That is correct. Coming up, everything that we mentioned earlier, because I'm not repeating myself.
No.
It's a freak accident, and we are so glad that you are here.
A Freak Accident proudly presents you with Real Tweets from Kanye West. I just thought of the craziest idea of all. I'm going to sell winter coats in the winter. And that was a real tweet from Kanye West.
Everybody, get on your chairs and start cheering. It's your favorite game of all time,
Yes or BS.
It is the game where we give you a statement and you decide yes, it's true, or no, it's total BS.
All right.
Yes, and it is St. Patrick's Day, so let's meet the lads and lass that will be playing. First, we have Ian. Ian, I heard you once found a four-leaf clover, then crushed it in front of a bunch of Irish children. Your response?
I'm a sick man.
Fair enough.
Yeah, I wouldn't dispute that.
We also have Crisco.
Ahoy.
Who once
Matey, arr, yarr, St. Patty's Day.
Who? That's a great Irish impression, by the way.
Thank you. I learned it from a good man.
Now, I've heard you once had a tryst with a leprechaun. How did that relationship go?
Lots of glitter, lots of gold, not much in my favor.
They're magically delicious.
That's true, too.
And, of course, we have our returning champion. How? We don't know.
Let's just say I lost my lucky charms, too, by the way. Sorry.
Okay. We remember the rules. Not your turn. Mickey!
Hey, did you say returning champion? Oh, yes. Yeah, she did. She is our champion.
Maybe if you stopped talking, you'd hear this. Returning champion Mickey, how are you?
I'll pass it off to you, Crisco.
Why did you sound like this?
Because my throat's getting itchy.
Do you?
Oh, yeah, she's allergic to chocolate. It's kicking in.
Oh, no.
I'm fine.
She's going to die.
Anyways.
Do you think you have the luck of the Irish with you today?
I hope not.
I hope so, because she needs to stay alive. Okay. Listen, if you pass out, I will step on your chest, but I'm not giving you mouth to mouth. Okay?
No, I don't expect you to.
Shh. Calm.
She might die, man. Have some compassion.
So, it is St. Patrick's Day, and the prize that you could win this week, you're throwing me off, man. This
Looking
week,
at you.
The prize you could win this week is something that the Irish wish they had in the late 1800s.
Potatoes?
Potatoes. That's right. You win a sack of potatoes. The topic for tonight is famous Patricks.
And a box of snakes.
Famous Patricks.
Okay.
Are you ready to play?
Okay, Patrick. Let's go. Let's do this.
That's Lazy McGee. Remember?
That's right.
Lazy McGee, can I eat chocolate cake while we're doing
this?
No! Who's going first?
The champion, right?
We
flipped the gold coin back.
the gold doubloon backstage.
And it fell in a thing of Lucky Charms. As you can tell, we're going to use as many stereotypical things about Irish we can today. And, well, we just cited Mickey because we didn't call heads or tails.
And she's the champion, so hey, it makes sense.
Yeah. All right. Mickey, are you ready to play Yes or BS?
BS.
I set myself up for that one. That's your first warning. Second time, not so lucky. All right. The question is, Patrick Schwarzenegger is Arnold's only son. Patrick Schwarzenegger is Arnold's only son.
He's so badly. What'd you say, Patrick Swayze?
No. His other four kids are all girls. Yes or BS?
BS?
Wait, what?
I just read it twice.
Oh, okay.
Patrick Schwarzenegger is Arnold's only son. His other four kids are all girls. Yes or BS?
Okay, BS.
I'm going to say true.
That's not.
Are you deaf?
Are you deaf?
Okay, Ian. Here we go.
English.
What's
English
the name,
man.
What's the name of the game?
I can't. I like chocolate cake.
Yes or BS? Give me a yes or BS.
Yes.
It is BS.
So I was right. Yeah. All right.
He and Maria Shriver have two boys and two girls, and there's also the son he had with his former housekeeper. Ooh.
Allegedly,
Arnold Schwarzenegger in the audience tonight. Congratulations. Thanks for being here. Now leave. Okay. Are you ready for the next question?
John Kasich for president, Alan.
Stop it, Arnold. Stop it or she will be terminated. Ooh, didn't see that one coming. Ian, are you ready?
Let's do this.
All right. Question two. Patrick Dempsey from Grey's Anatomy came in second in a national juggling championship when he was a kid. Yes or BS?
Yes.
That sounds so ridiculous, it must be true. Yes.
Yes.
The answer's yes!
Yeah!
He lost to a guy named Anthony Gatto, who is now considered one of the best jugglers in the world.
That's quite an accolade.
Yeah.
Not many people have that accolade. Not many care.
Not many people talk when they're not supposed to. How about that? How about that one? Huh, Crisco?
I got that accolade to my name, so.
Yep, you do. By the way, today's show is brought to you by Black Pudding, Ireland's little slice of hell. That's right. Crisco, are you ready to play Yes or BS?
Of course I am.
Good, because you've been playing the whole time. Patrick Duffy from the show Dallas became a Buddhist to get women in bed. Yes or BS?
please be yes. Please.
BS.
Yes. Yes.
The answer is yes. Yes. Here's the best part. Oh my God. It was his future wife, and now he's been devout Buddhist since 1970. Buddhists, getting women in bed. That's right. That's their motto.
Sorry, Tiger Woods.
What?
It makes perfect sense.
Buddha, 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 rocking everywhere. All right, let's get back to Mickey because you guys are talking too much. Stop.
Yeah, we're talking too much.
He became a Buddhist, and his wife decided to enlighten him with a golf club. That's how it happened.
Gonna hit you with a pot of gold. That's right. Number four, Mickey, are you ready to play Yes or BS? And listeners, if you'd like to play along, please download our app. Just go to your app store and download Yes or BS 36912 at AOL. Okay.
That's a weird name.
Mickey.
Hey, by the way, is our prize today at the end of a rainbow?
That was good.
Thank you.
Okay. Patrick Swayze had never taken a dance class before Dirty Dancing. He was self-taught.
Yes.
I believe it's BS.
Yes.
That is BS! He trained at two different ballet schools in New York in the early 70s, and Dirty Dancing didn't come out until 1987. Are you guys ready for the final question? Don't care! It's gonna happen! It's gonna happen. Ian!
I'm afraid for my safety.
I'm afraid you need to shut up.
So much anger.
Ian, Patrick Stewart went bald when he was 19, yes or BS?
I'm going to go yes.
Yes.
BS.
The answer's yes!
Yeah!
He used to have a comb over and he wore a toupee to auditions until his idol, Lawrence Oliver?
Yeah.
I think that, yeah. Called him out. Shut up. I asked my producers. Called him out for it. The winner of the game.
Yeah, we haven't been keeping score. Who won?
Is not me.
Well, no, the winner of the game, because some of those were double points for women only, is Mickey! Yes! Mickey, you win the sack of potatoes!
I hate my life.
Follow A Freak Accident on Twitter at A Freak Accident. Ah, crap. I forgot to say Simon Says.
Yes, I love technology. But not as much as you, you see. But I still love technology. Always and forever.
You've seen Napoleon Dynamite, right?
Unfortunately.
Yeah, so you remember that? That was the post-credits sequence? That,
yeah.
Yeah, it was Kip's wedding song.
They kicked that off, and then Marvel just copied them.
Yeah.
Napoleon Dynamite was the first one to do a post-credits sequence. Anyway, this is an article from BT.com, specifically home.bt.com. And these are rules of etiquette for friendship in a digital age. Because let's be serious. In today's day and age, technology is everywhere. It completely penetrates every single aspect of our lives.
Yeah.
It's ever-present. It stopped making those gestures every time I say a particular word. You filthy-minded young man, you.
That's Ian at afreakaccident.com.
I have to get the ruler.
Yardstick, you can't reach me with a ruler.
I got long arms. Don't you worry. I can also leap.
I was going to say, there's a fork right there.
Yeah. Yeah, like a throwing star. So, again, technology's everywhere. It's all over the place. And people already bring up the whole thing. Like, now there's those games where when multiple people are at dinner, you put your phones on top of each other in the middle of the table, and the first person to try and reach for theirs has to pay the bill or something
yeah.
like that. You've heard of that
yeah.
exercise, right? Because it's so all-consuming that we're losing. I do agree, and I believe, that we are losing the ability to interact as human beings on a face-to-face level.
It's gone.
Well, yeah, mostly. As a person listens to us in their ear hole over the internet on this podcast.
There's tons of kids in high school that they're like, yeah, I'm going on a date with my boyfriend. Oh, where are you going? Oh, we're just going to text all night.
Yeah.
Or like, you know, you see it comes up on Snapchat or whatever, all the crap that they're doing, like 1,000 pictures. It's like, so you're spending the entire time taking pictures to populate a social media profile rather than actually focusing your attention on the individual that you're with. No. It's no wonder so many relationships and marriages and whatnot fail because, hey, when you actually have to stare at each other every day, it turns out you don't like each other that much.
You don't sound like an emoji.
I thought you 100 did me like 5 times. I thought that meant something. I mean, that stupid 100 thing. Yeah. I don't even know what that means. I see it everywhere, though. Anyway, these are rules of etiquette for the modern digital age. You guys ready?
Yeah.
No.
Number one, we'll have to discuss whether or not we agree or disagree with these. One, don't private message someone you don't know.
Yes, that is absolutely an etiquette thing.
Somebody I saw on my Facebook today, some dude just completely sent her a picture of his, you know,
genitalia.
Nethers, let's put it that way. Yeah. Yeah. Just that's what he led with, though. And I've read articles about like people on dating sites having that problem where like, what is wrong with you?
That happened to Proofreader before we started talking.
Really?
Some guy just goes, "Hey, boom, there it is. What do you like?"
What are we, animals?
Are we talking like private messaging as in like your Facebook Messenger or more of like the dating profile?
Well, like a direct message, a private message, not necessarily posting on the wall or posting under a picture or commenting on something that you say, but sending you a private message that's just between you and the person sending it and receiving it.
Does that actually work?
What?
No.
Like whenever you send, like, just lead with him. Hey, here's the whole cash of prizes.
Here's the thing. It must have at some point, right? Because otherwise, why would they try it? Right? It must have worked for somebody at some time. They thought, that's a great idea. I'm going to try that every time. And that's why they keep doing it. I assume, anyway. Otherwise, why?
I think porn just gave them a really bad idea, and they just kept going with it.
Maybe. Yeah.
No. This is a theory, and I've seen a couple internet webisodes that do this. A guy will go into a bar and go, "Will you sleep with me? No. Will you sleep with me? No. Will you sleep with me? No." Eventually, you're going to hit one. One is going to work. If you send
odds dictate.
Law of averages.
Yeah. Somebody is going to say yes, or somebody's going to respond to that message because there's one sicko out there.
You know how we mentioned how we're losing the ability to interact as human beings, though? This is a prime example. It's like, what are we, animals? Animals show each other their butts, you know what I mean, to lead a relationship. We are not beasts, people. Come on, be better than this.
Hey, Ian.
I could see how that whole... finding out if somebody's just going to message you, just get their attention. You hit them with that picture, and they're either going to ignore you or they're going to either say, you
call
know,
the
hey,
cops.
Yeah, or call the cops.
Hey, Mickey.
No.
Put it away. Put it away, please.
Sorry.
All right. So the next rule of etiquette, because we kind of got off track there on that conversation, worthy conversation. But next rule of etiquette, never hide your viewing history or your browser history from your partner.
I never do that.
No. Mostly because I don't have my history set to record.
There's
nothing there to see.
I've never had to do that because I've never been the type that goes, well, I'm alone. Gotta look at porn.
Yeah.
Like, I've never been that guy that I've ever had to hide something.
Don't overshare on Facebook.
That drives me nuts.
Yeah. The people who like 1,000 pages and everything they post is a share. This inspirational quote. That nice picture. Here's a sunset. Here's a dog. Here's this. Stop. Nobody cares about any of this crap.
That just shows you can't think for yourself.
Minion picture. Another minion picture. Yeah.
So pretty much if you're a college age female or you're above the age of 45, that's all you post, right? Fair statement.
Yeah.
No, at this point it kind of runs for all ages, especially on the female side.
Recipe. Another recipe. Oh, another recipe. Yeah. Another recipe. I don't like that mostly because it's making me hungry. Stop it. Don't chat up someone via LinkedIn or any professional platform. Are people trying to pick up like dates on LinkedIn?
That's why people don't use LinkedIn as much.
LinkedIn still exists?
Yeah, I know. Well, that's why it didn't take off, because people started treating it like Facebook, MySpace at the time, and it just killed the site.
It's supposed to be like basically you post your resume, right? It's like...
And make connections within your industry.
Business connections.
Exactly. Networking connections for a business, you know, professional.
So,
we're talking about
what's your educational experience?
We're talking about a group of people. We're like, how can they use LinkedIn as a dating site? We just got done talking about people sending their genitalia to other people.
Yeah, no, you're right.
Yeah.
Here's my resume.
Boom.
Well, that's a short list.
Don't post to social media when emotional.
No, I can tell you several people that do that.
Just a couple weeks ago, we said, you know, what is the number one thing people from Pennsylvania don't like on Facebook is complaining posts, right?
Yeah.
What do you call it? Personal
problems.
Yeah, right, personal problems. Nobody wants to see that crap. Keep it to yourself.
So all women should not be on social media.
get a diary and write it in a diary. If you need to vent, vent there. Don't vent to the world because we don't care.
This is true.
You're just dragging, you're killing my vibe.
Or what you should do is, like you said, write it in a diary. Wait till the next morning. If you read that and get depressed, chances are no one else wants to see it.
Exactly.
True.
Good point. Don't look through your partner's phone. Respect their privacy.
Yeah, never do that.
I had that problem with my ex.
Oh, that doesn't surprise me at all.
She went through my Facebook. She went through my phone. And I would catch her because I'd wake up in the middle of the night and see a phone in her hand and hers was on the table. So I'd be like, what are you doing?
Man, you and Crisco were really close.
No, her excuse would be like, what, do you have something to hide? No, but it's still not your phone.
It's still invasion of privacy.
Yeah, it made me uncomfortable.
Yeah.
Trust the person or don't.
Yeah.
You'll like this one, E. Don't reply all to a group message by accident.
Oh, that goes with emails, too?
Yeah, emails, texts. Yeah, especially texts, because you can't opt out of a group text once it starts going.
And that happens with my friends all the time.
Yeah.
All the time.
I did it today.
That's true. Although you did it in our Google Hangout thing that we have.
Yep.
And that's okay because I can opt out of that if I want to.
Because everyone is a picture of you and Ian.
Yes, right. Don't post. Okay, that one I read already. Never send a text or message in anger. That kind of goes along with don't post when emotional and, you know, and anything. Don't do anything out of emotion.
If it's in caps locks.
Yeah. Yeah. Maybe backspace on that. Never send a text or message when drunk.
That's same, easier said than done.
Same thing with emotional. That seems to be all compiled.
That's how I ended up with murderer.
Really?
Drunk text.
What did it say?
There was always goofy stuff on there. It made absolutely no sense.
Years later, and here they are.
Right? I thought we were going to revert back to problem number one.
You know, there's actually...
Hey, murderer, what do you think?
There's actually apps now on your phone where, like, if you're going out drinking, you activate the app, and it will basically lock your phone until you solve a basic puzzle or something that a non-drunk person would easily be able to solve, but if you're hammered, it would be, like, very hand-eye coordination type stuff, and if you can't do it, it won't unlock your phone and won't let you text.
Bad thing, and I know it's kind of one of those, it probably won't happen, but what happens if you get so drunk, you hurt yourself, you end up in the hospital, you're trying to text people where you're at? Please, I didn't tell them.
Never post to social media while drunk, obviously, for the same reason. Don't put kisses on texts or emails to clients or work colleagues.
Why would you do that?
XOXOXO. Yeah, I've seen that.
I know a salesperson that did that, but they also did that in person to the client, too.
Were they dating said client?
Well, they were kind of seeing that said client while with said husband.
Back to problem number one.
Yeah, yeah.
Don't gossip about people via text or social media. Always text or message if you're going to be late. And
yes.
I kind of see that because in today's day and age, when there are so many ways for you to be in contact with each other, it's just courtesy if you're running behind to keep everybody in the know.
Yeah, if you're going to be more than 10 minutes,
let
them know.
For sure. And it's not like it was before, like, you know, oh, you don't have a cell phone. Literally, everybody just has to wait for you, whether it's an hour, 2 hours, whatever. Now you could just shoot off a text and it's fine. Always call rather than text if you're going to be off sick. So call off sick. Don't text off sick.
Well, yeah, that seems like a poor excuse at that point.
Makes it hard to fake, though.
I don't know. My bosses don't answer their phones. Everything's via text message.
That's terrible.
If your friend is a good friend, wish them a happy birthday by text rather than Facebook message. I would go a step further. Call them. Give them your mouth words, actually, from your vocal cords and show them that you care.
In the same instance, though, with Mickey, a lot of my friends will not answer calls. They just take text messages.
Yeah.
So text, I could see that. The Facebook thing is too generic because random people know it's your birthday.
Right.
You know when it's your friend's birthday.
Never end a relationship via text or social media post.
Aw, why not?
Watch out, murderer.
Mickey, you have experience in this?
No, but I think it's funny when I see other people doing it.
You're maniacal.
Yeah.
Awful.
My favorite thing is, well, single. Ooh, that's brutal. You see that status on social media.
Well, that is interesting to see from my wife. All right.
don't ever text bad news. Call.
that is something I dealt with recently. My mom, when she lost her mom, my grandmother.
Oh, I was going to go another way with it.
No.
Sorry, I'll hold that one back.
She, don't. but she ended up texting her sister. But it was because she was in the wrong place.
Mom's dead.
Yeah.
Yeah. She was in the wrong place of mind at that moment. So that, I could give that a pass, but absolutely. You don't want to text someone so they're like, what?
Yeah, usually if it's bad news, someone will call, like, text me like, hey, call now or something like that.
Yeah, if you see the wrong texts online, they have like a list of people that have text messaged, you know, people, the wrong numbers. There's one on there that it's somebody giving bad news to somebody else and it's a wrong number. And the guy's like, you're a jerk. You need to call this person. Wrong number.
Love that.
So we agree with all of these then?
Most, yeah, yeah.
There you go.
I'm with all of them.
Yep. Be a human being. It's that simple.
Yeah.
And stop showing people your crap. Nobody wants to see that.
And
literally.
Yeah, literally. Your personal pieces. Keep it covered up. Nobody wants to see it.
Stop.
Up next, how much are some former popular celebrities worth? It'll make you feel better about your own poverty. It's up next on A Freak Accident.
A Freak Accident. It's the best mistake ever made.
Money does talk, AC/DC. And that's true.
Oh, yeah. With celebrities, that's what makes them be able to do whatever they want.
Right, yeah. I mean, it's kind of why they're able to live that affluent lifestyle that everybody wants to follow on TMZ and all that. Because, oh, look, they're in another realm than the average person is with our meager incomes and our full-time jobs.
And it makes people, while they may hate them for that, they envy it and they want to live vicariously through them.
It's interesting. It can be. But honestly, and this is totally selfish, it's funny when they blow it all and they end up in our shoes again.
Especially the ones that gloat about it a lot.
Well, or ones that were very obnoxious during their time at the top, as it were.
We're looking at you, Kanye.
Yes, yes. Yeah, Kanye, and he's like $50 million in debt, too, now, right? Yeah. Or something crazy like that. He has no money to his name.
That's okay. Kim Kardashian will pose naked again and bring in another $100 million.
Probably right. Anyhow, looking at this list from CelebrityNetWorth.com that was compiled by Wise Brother, we have a list of celebrities that really, these are all people that were very popular like 10 to 20 years ago in thereabouts. So like 90s, 2000s. But, yeah. You know, they were popular at one time and now they're not so popular anymore. So it's interesting looking now and seeing how much they're worth now after their popularity is over. Like, did they invest properly? Were they responsible? Some, yes. Others, well, no, not at all.
A little game, off-the-cuff game. Can you say the person and we try to guess, like, around?
Totally, yeah. All right. Lindsay Lohan is number one on this list. What do you think her net worth is?
Net worth, I'm going to say...
She was very popular, top of the world, went through some stuff, obviously.
Stuff.
Yeah. Where do you think she lands, her net worth? What do you think it is these days?
I'm going to say $1 million.
Wow, you're going low.
I'm going for $1 million.
Okay, Ian.
She spent a lot of money on cocaine. I'm going to go with $2
million. I'll say like
$350,000. Wow.
Wow. She is actually worth $500,000.
Oh, my God.
That's
Mickey,
it.
Mickey wins again.
I think so.
Wait, where is it?
That's congratulations, Mickey.
Only 500 grand.
500 grand, that's it. That's
oh
her net worth.
Oh, God.
Makes sense. Only 500 grand.
Yeah, yeah,
compared to what she had, though.
Makes sense why she's with that super rich Russian dude now.
Oh, yeah, well, that does help.
I need more money. All mine is gone. I snorted it all up my nose.
And other places I'm not proud of.
You can't even pay for a decent-sized house with that money.
I mean, still, 500,000, like Mickey was saying, it's not a number to be...
Well,
sad about.
When that's your net worth, though, that's the literally, if you liquidated your existence, you'd be worth $500,000.
Oh, that's sad.
Yeah. Also, at that number, William Hung, remember him?
Oh, my God. No.
From American Idol. That sounds like it's about the same amount of money he's ever made. I can't imagine he made more than that.
Yeah.
Actually, that's impressive for him.
Yeah.
And Justin Guarini. Who was the other guy from American Idol that first season who wasn't Kelly Clarkson?
Yeah, so are we guessing what they made?
Well, or? I just thought, well, they were all at $500,000.
Oh, okay,
that's
all at that.
Why I was including them.
The
okay.
Last two, I'm actually not bad. I'm actually impressed.
That they have as much
as
that? It's not like, wow, they should have had more. No, I'm surprised they ever made that much.
Good for them.
Yeah, good for them. Fred Durst.
Go ahead, Mickey.
-$1.
$10,000.
I'm going to still say he has about, I'm going to say 900,000.
20 million.
Wow. Oh, my God.
Freddie has invested what? Well. Yeah, he's got $20 million to his name.
So he's laughing in all of our faces.
Oh, yeah.
For how much everybody makes fun of him.
He must have a good accountant, at least.
I guess.
Well, I guess it's his way or the highway.
How about Akon?
Acorn.
he was like an R&B, right, kind of pop dude.
I don't even know who he is.
He did a song with The Lonely Island a couple years ago.
Yeah, he's the guy who had he's the original guy who did the auto-tune.
Oh, okay. Now you know who you're talking about now.
Or one of the originals.
I hope he is in debt up to his eyeballs.
I'm going to say $5 million.
Was that a number?
In debt up to my eyeballs.
We'll go with $1 million.
Turns out he is in debt up to, no, he's $80 million.
Wow.
He invested well as well.
You see?
He's got a long way to go.
This is like when Marshawn Lynch said he didn't spend a dime of his contract. These people used probably their endorsement money and just lived off of it.
Yeah.
Chris Kirkpatrick, who I guess is somebody from NSYNC.
Yes, he's the reject.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
What's he worth?
Oh, I'm going to say he saved his money. He seems like a guy who didn't spend much.
Okay.
I'm going to say 30 mil.
I'm going to go 10 mil.
500,000.
Ian's got it. 13 million.
Wow. Really?
Actually, It's funny. Where my last job when I was in Punxsutawney, he actually grew up about 35 minutes north of where I used to work.
And I can see you got his talent.
Remember Shaggy from It Wasn't Me?
Oh, Shaggy!
Yeah, Shaggy. What's he worth?
Shaggy.
That guy was my favorite.
He did have a lot of big hits.
Yeah.
Although he seems like the guy that dabbled a little bit in drugs. I'm going to say he is worth $3 million.
He just had something come out fairly recently.
Did he?
Yeah. Oh. I'm going to go 15 mil.
I'm going to go a million.
10 million.
Okay.
Ian's closest
wow.
again. Yeah. That's actually, I mean, you think with how big that one song was, you would think 10 million is low. And it sounds like it is low for somebody who, at his peak, was incredibly popular. He was riding quite a wave. So 10 million is probably a lot less than it should be.
Those damn record companies.
There you go. Mm-hmm. How about Ashley Simpson?
Ugh.
Ashley Simpson, she, I think, went into clothing line and everything like that. So I'm going to say she is worth 15 million.
I'm going 500K.
I'll say 30 mil.
Eight million.
Wow, okay. Not bad.
That's not too bad.
It's not mad either. Cisco, the thong song.
thong.
What has he done since?
Thong.
And that's it. Yeah, he does like he does bar appearances, and he does that song, and they pay him money. So what's he worth now?
Mickey, you go for it.
Five mil.
100K.
I'm going to say 10 million.
Mickey's closest there, 4 million.
Oh, man.
Lots of thongs you can buy there.
Real quick, also in that range, Ja Rule. At 5 million, which, again, seems low, considering considering the number of hits that he had.
Yeah.
Lou Bega.
Mambo number 5.
I'm still waiting for Mambo number 6. Where is it? I'm going to wait my entire life for it.
I will not rest until Mambo number 6 comes
Me
out.
Me neither. I'm going to wait my entire life for that song.
Oh, Lou Bega. He's probably... Ah, jeez. I'll go 5 mil.
I think he's worth 1, 2, 3 million.
Oh, that was terrible.
Thank you.
I'm going to say 10 million.
$1 million.
Oh, that's closest.
That is remarkably low. That is not that much money.
He had one song.
I was going to say, he only had one song.
True, but still.
God, it was great, though.
Yeah, it was. Everybody loved that song.
More reason to come out with Mambo number 6.
Last but not least... Coolio. He's living in gangster's paradise, but how much is it worth?
I saw him at Big Al's bar in Dallas.
Really?
Yes, I did. Him and his son. He has a lot of dirty lyrics right now.
Okay.
Very much so. He's doing bar appearances, so.
He's literally doing what I said Cisco was doing earlier.
So, 7 million.
I bet you he's under a million.
I'm going to have to stick with the 10 million again.
$100,000.
Oh, no! It truly is a gangster's paradise.
That's what I said. My house is worth more than him. I have more money than Coolio.
He probably made more money than that doing the Kenan and Kel theme song.
Oh, my God, I forgot that.
So how do you feel? Makes you feel better about yourself, right? Knowing
especially,
all these people are basically...
Coolio.
Yeah, Coolio and Lindsay Lohan, really.
Yeah, I don't know. The fact that Lou Bega still has money kind of depresses me.
Save your money, kids. You might end up being worth more than these people, like, in a couple weeks. That won't be too hard to do.
Look up A Freak Accident on Instagram.
You're so beautiful.
Get an exclusive peek inside the podcast with pictures and videos of our recording sessions and general tomfoolery. Not to mention, you can see for yourself that the face for radio thing is 100% true.
Do you have any idea how completely gross that is?
Follow us at A Freak Accident.
Let's all go to the lobby. Let's all go to the lobby. Let's all go to the lobby to get ourselves a treat.
Come on, Mickey, to the lobby. Let's go.
No.
All right, movie talk. A lot of movie news coming out lately, and most of it's been good. Some of it not so good. Yeah. We'll start off by reviewing, though. I will review the trailer. I will review the trailer. No, I will review 10 Cloverfield Lane, which I went to see over the weekend.
Okay, I want to go see this. Should I?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely, you should.
And this was a movie, I think with all the other movies, with Deadpool and with all this other news coming out, I totally forgot about it.
Well, you forgot about it, too, because they kind of, that was the point. They filmed it in secret. They produced it in secret. Nobody even knew this movie was happening up until like a month ago when that trailer popped up, I think during the football game, right?
Yeah,
it was just, everybody was like, whoa, there's another Cloverfield movie? And nobody was expecting it. It came out of nowhere. There was almost no marketing for it. It just showed up on the scene. But, I mean, it killed at the box office. I think on Rotten Tomatoes, it's got like a 95% or something like that. Yeah, so, I mean, critically favored as well. And I'll tell you, would I recommend it? Absolutely. It was fantastic.
Now, do you have to remember Cloverfield to get this movie?
It is, and I will say possible. Spoilers? Yeah, I'll say spoilers. Yeah. I mean, you can skip ahead a couple minutes to get past this part if you want to. I will say no, because it is not even remotely related to the first Cloverfield movie.
Okay.
I can't say that. There are strings, like there are Easter eggs and callbacks and things like that. Like basically what I would say is it seems anyway that this movie takes place in the same universe, but it's not tied to the plot of the original Cloverfield.
Is there still shaky camera work?
No.
Oh, thank God.
No, yeah, that was its own thing for Cloverfield. This is whatever you'd call classic cinematography,
okay.
Steadicam, whatever. But, I mean, it's what I think they're trying to do is create an anthology series based off of the Cloverfield brand. Think of Cloverfield as sort of the bad robot J.J. Abrams, like the Twilight Zone. You know, the Twilight Zone had a bunch of different episodes and things that, like, they weren't connected, but it was all, oh, it's an anthology. The same way Alfred Hitchcock Presents, right?
Right.
It's kind of the same element. It's an anthology. They're loosely tied together, but they're not so much sequels or related to each other.
Is that kind of like the Fury Road movies and everything like that?
Kind of, sort of, yeah. Yeah. It's honestly, it's a bunch of stories being told from, you know, within the realm of this universe.
All right.
But, I mean, it is spectacular, well acted too. Let me tell you, John Goodman,
he's a good actor.
When people say name great actors, John Goodman doesn't immediately come to mind. Let me tell you though, he kills it in this movie. I mean, everybody does. Yeah, it's very well acted, but he is just spectacular. And I mean, it's a very they spend the entire movie in a bunker. In a fallout shelter. It's a very like claustrophobic feeling movie, but I mean it's only 100 minutes long. It's barely over an hour and a half. But I mean it's just spectacular. It's very tense. It's like there are parts where like you don't know whether to feel like afraid or like you kind of want to laugh too. You know what I mean? Like it's very uneasy, and the tension just ratchets up as it goes on, and as like you learn more and figure new things out. And then the end of the movie, I will say this without super spoiling it, the end of the movie is a complete freaking twist and a subversion of any expectations you had up to that point, and it is awesome. It is the perfect cherry on top of the perfect ice cream sundae.
What I love about that movie, and I want to go see it, haven't gotten a chance yet, it's a movie I know nothing about. I'm going into the theater, other than seeing a couple of commercials on TV, I know nothing about this movie.
You need to know nothing about it. That's kind of the point, and I think that's kind of why they did the marketing. Like it goes along with the type of movie that it is, not knowing. It makes the experience that much better, not knowing what to expect.
Those are some of the greatest movies I've ever watched. I can't name any offhand, but where I just go in blindly.
You have no expectations, yeah. So when it's something this good, you're blown away by it.
I just did that with Fury Road. I didn't know anything about Fury Road before I finally watched it last weekend, and I got to sit there and just enjoy it.
And it's like, I'm getting acid pumped right into my brainstem. It's the greatest thing I've ever seen with my eyes.
Now, meanwhile, my wife, on the other hand, hates that. If she goes into a movie not knowing anything about it, she will ask questions
all the time.
Oh, God.
That's unbearable.
Terrible.
And I'm telling you guys this story. She's gonna be mad at me for telling you, but it just drives me insane.
Don't worry. She'll just close you in a room.
Probably.
Kick it out.
There's a member of Hello Nurse's family that does that, too. Anytime you watch a movie with him, it's, what's that? What are they doing? Where are they going? I don't know. If you'll wait 3 seconds, you might find out.
So shut up. Just watch the movie.
I've known people like that. I've always just turned to them and been like, I haven't seen this movie either. So wait a minute.
Yeah, seriously. But would definitely recommend 10 Cloverfield Lane. Don't expect it to be Cloverfield 2. It's not. But it's its own thing. And it's spectacular. I give it, honestly, 5 out of 5.
Wow.
It is that good. It is a spectacular movie. Absolutely spectacular. Totally recommend it.
A lot of good movies that have come out recently.
Yeah, yeah. Batman versus Superman is next week. Yeah! Oh, I'm so excited. I am so excited.
Breaking things, I'm so excited.
I'm smashing things to bits. I am so amped for that movie. I cannot wait.
Do you know what movie I'm not amped for?
What?
The reboot of Ghostbusters.
Ugh.
Yeah, that trailer came out. You can watch it at afreakaccident.com. We've got it posted there. I mean, I think everybody has seen it. What I thought was hysterical, it has more downvotes than upvotes on YouTube. Like, you know, you can give something the thumbs up or a thumbs down. It's got more thumbs down than it's got thumbs up. Most people hate it.
I would have accepted the one they're still talking about, the one with the guys, that it would be a build on the original Ghostbusters, like their kids or whatever, with Channing Tatum and whoever else they wanted in that movie. I don't get why you have to reboot a movie that was perfect.
Yeah, no, you're right.
There's no what are you going to accomplish other than disappointment?
Yeah, you're just going to let people down. And the other thing is, too, somebody pointed out, and I didn't even catch it. It's one of those things that you don't notice it, but your brain does. At the beginning of the trailer, and you'll see it if you watch it, listener, it says, 20 years ago or 30 years ago, whatever, 4 scientists saved New York. All 4 of them weren't scientists.
No.
Already, in the first 10 seconds of your trailer, you've completely defecated on the legacy of that first movie by demonstrating that you don't even know what it was about.
Yeah.
And you're going to reboot it, though. And here's the thing. I watched the trailer. I didn't necessarily hate it. I mean, but then again, my expectations were so dismal expecting what I was going to see that I was actually kind of like, oh, it isn't as awful as I thought, but I'll admit, it's not a Ghostbusters movie.
No.
It definitely isn't. And also, for like a movie that's talking about, oh, you know, well, you know, we're going to try and, you know, basically, it's a movie that's meant to empower women. Let's be obviously, that's what it's for. Why are you... Mickey doesn't like that.
Mickey did that.
Why does the black character have to be like the ghetto? Like, you know, look, y'all know your science, but I know the streets. It's like... That's racist.
Because feminism, and
you know what I mean? Why is the black character have to be the stereotype? Why can't she be smart like the other three? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It just kind of seems, you're sort of tipping your hand there a little bit, I think.
You know, Bill Murray aside, doing this movie without Harold Ramis, who unfortunately passed away, is wrong on so many levels.
Yeah. And I said, it isn't a Ghostbusters movie. Now, if this were a movie about with these same characters, okay, but let's just say hypothetically they're in some kind of an accident where they get superpowers and they need to be like, you know, they need to stop some terrible catastrophe from happening, and it's like an Avengers type movie, you can make it a comedy, that's fine, where they have to use their superpowers to try and stop some kind of catastrophe. I'd be perfectly okay with that. I'd be like, yes, okay, that I will go see and I'll be happy. But the fact that you're trying to like hijack a franchise for your own purposes, I gotta be like, nah, man, nah, that's not cool.
Or they could have called it what the original movie was called, Bridesmaids 2. You know, they could have just called it that and been fine.
She just had the movie with Dan Aykroyd running around trying to stop ghosts all by himself. That movie would have been great.
God dang it, I wish those three other guys were here.
Batman! No, please! I don't love this city.
That would be a movie I would watch. And I would love if he's like making like callbacks to the fact that Bill Murray does everything terrible now. Like, you know, all his streak of failed business ventures ever since. Then he just looks knowingly at the camera. Not excited about that, though. Yeah, no, I have no desire to see it, and I probably won't.
But we got great news about one franchise.
Well, first of all, there also was another trailer that came out before we get to that news. I know you're excited about
that. I'm really excited, because that's my childhood.
The Captain America Civil War trailer that came out.
Oh.
Now, there's a trailer, I think, that blew everybody's minds, because not only did they give us a deeper look at what is setting up the conflict in Captain America Civil War, it gave us our first look at Spider-Man. Which, he looks fantastic, as far as I'm concerned.
Crisco, you pointed this out to me, and it is a great additive, how his eyes move in and out to show emotion.
Now, that's the thing. In the comic books, and even in the cartoons, his eyes on this costume would, like, grow or shrink to basically emote through a mask.
Well, sure, because it's glued to somebody's face, so it would do that.
Right. So, obviously, though, in the movies, when we've had, like, just, like, the solid lenses, they don't change size.
Right.
So how would you do that? So what they did is they made it almost like it's like a binocular type effect. So the eyes grow and shrink. It's like, what a perfect way to add that little touch from the comic books into the movie to give the character a little bit of expression, even though his face is completely covered by a mask.
It's like a camera aperture. But it's closing up and down.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Which, I mean, like I said, brilliant. And it just makes him, he looks like the Spider-Man from the comic books. And it looks awesome, you know? And, I mean, people were complaining, oh, it looks really, really CG. Well, it did, but you got to remember, this is still early cuts of the movie that they're putting in the trailers. They're going to brush up and touch up and, you know, put color matte and everything over
you
all
this
so stuff.
You hope so, anyways.
Before the release, anyway. You do hope so. I do hope so, because it's like, well, honestly, if that's the finished product, you know, you guys, you got to step your game up a little bit with your CGI. Mm. But either way, I think the costume design looks awesome. And the movie just looks absolutely stellar.
Yeah.
It looks awesome.
There's nothing bad that came out of that trailer.
No.
Nothing at all.
Captain America hasn't disappointed me yet. I don't think he will.
Interestingly, though, we haven't seen Sharon Carter in any of the trailers, though. I don't think, anyway.
I don't think so.
She was the blonde in Winter Soldier, who's actually a love interest for Captain America. She's, I think, the granddaughter or grandniece, depending on what continuity you go with, of Peggy Carter. And, I mean, she's a huge character in the comic books. And, I mean, I know she's in this. She's kind of like, I guess, a foil to Black Widow, sort of. But she hasn't been in the trailers much, so I don't know. It's kind of like looking for more out of that, but either way, the movie looks awesome.
Might not have time for that plot line.
Who knows? Yeah. At this point, the movie's like close to 3 hours long, I think. It's like, how much more can you cram into this film? People are saying Batman and Superman have a lot crammed into that. This movie's got a ton, too. Got to meet Black Panther, got to figure out what's going on with the Avengers, got to establish the conflict, Spider-Man's got to show up. But yeah, there's a lot in there. And there's a villain that we haven't even seen in the trailers yet. So it's like, good luck, guys. I'm excited, but seriously, you may have overstuffed this one a little bit.
I can't wait, though.
I'm excited. Now, the big news that he's excited about.
So excited. We're going to get a new Indiana Jones.
Yeah!
But more importantly, we're going to get it without George Lucas. Kingdom of the Crystal Skull, be done with you.
Yeah, no. I mean, that's what a lot of people were like, oh, no, this is going to be terrible. Wait. We've seen what Disney did with Star Wars, sans George Lucas. Let's see what they do with Indiana Jones, sans George Lucas. It's still Spielberg, yeah. And Harrison Ford's coming back, even though he's going to be 77 when the movie comes out.
It doesn't matter. Harrison Ford can do whatever he wants.
He's immortal.
No, he can't. He can't fly small planes.
Why, yes! Land! No!
He also can't apparently climb out of the Millennium Falcon without busting his hip.
Yeah, just but keep him stationary.
I mean, he's up there, you know, and he was kind of the old guy in the last one too. A lot of people are saying, but I mean, I remember, wasn't Chris Pratt rumored to be Indiana Jones? And we were talking about this. That would be the perfect fit because you could make him the grown-up version of the Mutt character from the last movie. And say, oh, now he's an adult, and now he's the new Indiana Jones. Because don't forget, Indiana wasn't Indy's name. Indy's name was Henry. It's like, so it's like, I it's like Batman. Batman is a symbol. Anyone could be Batman. It's basically the same thing. Anybody could be Indiana Jones.
This is true.
So I think putting Chris Pratt in there, having him carry on the legacy, that's a good way you can write Harrison Ford out. You know, because like I said, he's getting up there. You know, he's getting up. And that's, the movie's coming out July 2019.
No one can replace Harrison Ford.
I'm not saying replace him, but the dude literally, I joke he's immortal. He is not immortal.
Until you give me sufficient evidence.
Do you think they'll bring back Short Round?
Yes!
You know what? There was an early rumor during Crystal Skull, before that was like when early drafts, there was a rumor that Jet Li was going to be cast as an adult version of Short Round. And I was like, man, so Short Round is now like a martial arts expert who's just going to be like roundhouse kicking everybody's heads off their shoulders.
Got a better idea. This will help out someone we talked about earlier in the show, William Hung.
Get that man some money. He's only worth 500 grand.
He hates snakes. He hates snakes.
Was that your William Hung song right there?
He hates snakes. He hates snakes. He just goes and whips the people around.
Why? Why?
You actually managed to sound worse than Ricky Martin.
Listen,
or William Hung.
I'm excited, though. No. Bring on more indie. Yeah. I'm optimistic. After what they did with Star Wars, I'm full of optimism. Let's do this.
Harrison Ford was awesome in the last Star Wars, so I have no reason to think he won't be awesome in this.
Up next, we're wrapping up this past week in WWE on the road to WrestleMania. It is a freak accident.
Abraham Lincoln once said, "Whatever you are, be a good one." Maybe we should rethink this show. You're listening to A Freak Accident.
Welcome to my house, baby, if you're gonna.
I don't know the words, but I really like the beat. Flow, so I'm going to sing along, even though I don't know the words.
Well, you got the melody.
I know, you're damn right I do.
Welcome to my house.
It's my house.
Oh, wait. Here it comes.
Welcome to my house.
My house.
Yeah, that's right. So it's WrestleMania, the road to WrestleMania. That is Flo Rida with the theme song to this year's event. Let me tell you, one thing that was interesting about this Raw that was kind of unexpected was the last hour was the exciting hour.
I know.
And the first two were dull as a white wall.
I know.
So how would you explain your dichotomy now that, you know, what? For a good one, there's a bad one. There's been like four bad ones in a row.
That theory's been blown out of the water. I mean, I thought for sure, but I mean, this Raw was kind of good things happened.
One of the good points, I think it's a great passing of the torch with Mick Foley and Dean Ambrose handing him that barbed wire bat.
Yeah.
Now
we're wondering if they're not going to book Ambrose like Mick Foley.
I think they are. I think you're going to see his first title reign at a random Raw.
Yeah, and I like what you said, that they're going to book him. He's going to lose a lot, but he's always going to look good doing it.
Yeah, he'll be fighting to his death, but at the end of the match, he'll always stumble up and walk out on his own.
He'll lose with style, as it were. I could say, with Ambrose and his character, that makes a lot of sense, actually.
Because he doesn't need to win. He doesn't want to win. He wants to beat somebody up.
It was a big thing in the news with what happened with Jericho and Neville. Neville injured himself during the match. Jericho pushed the ref and got in the ref's face because the ref didn't hear, didn't like recognize the injury problem.
There were a lot of injuries at Raw.
Well, there's a lot these days. Did you notice that? Like, so many guys are injured. And I feel really terrible for Neville. This was going to be his first WrestleMania, and now he's going to miss it.
I know. That does suck, because he's so talented. It seemed like they were finally giving him something.
Yeah.
And now
He's broken.
Yeah. He broke his foot. He's going to be out for 2 to 3 months, I think they said.
Well,
I mean, at least he doesn't need surgery, but still, it's like you're missing the dance, man.
Well, at least we know now. Gravity remembered.
No. Gravity didn't remember. Friction did.
Oh, well,
it's a completely different physics principle.
He's not the man who friction forgot.
How did the referee not know the man broke his foot?
I don't know. It doesn't really make sense. I mean, he should have known. He should have seen. Just didn't. Mistake, I guess. Jericho saved the day, though. You know, and he managed to look somehow like even more of a colossal heel while doing it. It's like, so not only did he help his character, but he also, like, saved Neville from having a serious injury. Triple H and Ziggler, that was a great match.
Amazing.
Reigns shows up at the end. By the way, you notice he's coming down the ramp now?
Yeah.
Good.
End that Shield thing. It's over.
It didn't make sense for him to be coming through the crowd. Now, with the Shield, it did, because the whole thing with the Shield was they would, like, you know, they were hiding in the bowels of the arena. Like, they were, like, hiding in the crowd. You know what I mean? So it's like they could strike at any time. You didn't know what direction they were coming from. So when they entered through the crowd, it made sense. With Reigns, it's like, why is he still doing this? Well, he's not hiding.
Yeah, because the Shield was built like they weren't on the roster.
It was like a SWAT team kind of thing.
The ring is stationary. Does it really matter what side they're coming from?
Suspension of disbelief. And it didn't
damn it, Mickey!
It didn't matter either that they came through the same side every time, the same two aisles. But it's the point is that, they were like a special forces team where, like, you didn't know when they were going to strike. So it made kind of sense.
Yeah.
With Reigns, it didn't. It's like they just literally wanted to keep the thing from the Shield going, but now it's like that's dead. And change his music, too. Get away from the Shield. Give him his own identity.
The great thing about that not many people are talking about is the fact that Triple H is in his 40s.
And he can still go.
That guy's better than some people on the roster.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous.
We were saying he's not as quick as he was, because Jeff was showing me old... what's the word I'm
footage,
looking for
tape?
There? Old foot, right, exactly. But he's still got the power, like the brick house behind him.
Oh, yeah.
So he's not as fast, but he's pushing.
He can still go. He can still take a bump, give a bump. He still looks great in the ring.
And still the... Next to Arn Anderson, the best spine buster in the business.
And I like that they gave Shane the opportunity to look a little scrappy against The Undertaker.
They made... That's what the fight needs to be.
It's a great promo.
Great promo, and he's able to... Did you see he made fun of his promo when he screwed up?
Did he?
Yeah, he screwed up. He says, you'll hit me, and I'll miss. He meant to say, and you'll miss. And then on Twitter, he goes... He quoted that on his Twitter, and then he goes... I have to rethink my strategy.
To be fair, when you're standing across the ring from The Undertaker, you're going to fumble your words.
He's a terrifying man.
If that were me, I'd be like, the language is gone.
That match I'm looking forward to. And the promo that Vince said, he said, you're going to bring in all kinds of new talent. No, that's not going to happen. Now that's going to happen.
You keep thinking that the Bullet Club's going to show up and support him.
Not only Bullet Club, I think that next night on Raw, the Raw after Mania, you're going to see the debut of new talent. You're going to see Bayley. You're going to see people like Enzo and Cassidy.
Well, we commented, people are pointing out that Shane isn't scheduled for any events after WrestleMania. It's like, well, that would kind of give it away if he was.
Right? He'll be there for the next month after WrestleMania. I wonder what's going to happen.
Yeah, I wonder if he's going to win or if he's going to leave. So, yeah, I think they're keeping it, they're doing the right thing. They're keeping it ambiguous. They're keeping it up in the air, which is good. I hope I can see the Raw after WrestleMania if I don't lose USA from my television package, Dish Network. Stop dropping my channels, Dish Network. I'm going to embarrass you all over the internet, Dish.
He's ran out of jokes. I think we need to end the show.
All right, Mickey, tell the listener where they need to go to find us and all that stuff.
You need to go to freakaccident.com and click on the Connect tab.
Nope. Click Connect on the menu bar.
Click Connect on the menu bar. See, I can't get those directions right. Hopefully you can. You can send us an email at freaks@afreakaccident.
Don't worry. You're a lot smarter than Mickey is. You'll definitely figure it
out. Yes, absolutely.
freaks@afreakaccident.com. Thank you. Keep going.
Okay. You can find us on Twitter.
Yeah.
You can find us on iTunes and leave us a nice review.
And subscribe.
And subscribe.
Yes, thank you, Mickey. Yeah, do all of those things she said. Freakaccident.com is your one-stop shop for everything this show. Thank you a ton for taking the time to download and listen this week. And don't forget, freaks@afreakaccident.com if you want to reach out to us. We'd love to hear from you. And we'll see you again next week when we're back with another all-brand-new episode for A Freak Accident. My name is Crisco.
I'm Lazy E, and my throat's starting to feel itchy, so I think I got your... Allergies.
Yeah. I'm Ian Hunter.
I'm Mickey, and we're reminding you
that some things in life are a given.
Until there's a freak accident.
Do we have any more chocolate cake?
Party's over, dude.
Now I bring you the worst news ever. The show is over. If you're the kind of person who doesn't learn from their mistakes, a freak accident will be back with an all-new episode next week.
Thou shalt not miss it.
A Freak Accident is a Solar Flare Media production, all rights reserved. Thanks for listening.